If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, second Sunday of Advent, the season of Nativity. The historic church has celebrated it 40 days in advance. And as time went on and kind of things reached across the pond here to America, traditionally, in our Protestant circles, we celebrate Advent 4 Sundays prior to Christmas Day. And the first Sunday, we talked about hope. Aren't you thankful for hope? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, a world without hope is a really dark world. It's a dark place to be. It really is. Hopelessness is, unfortunately, it's rampant. Amen? There's a lot of people that feel like there's no hope. But the second Sunday of Advent is peace. Everybody say peace. There's something about just the word for me that's similar to an onomatopoeia. Right? Some of you are going, what's that? Well, I didn't know what it was until my wife told me one time. But it's a word that sounds as it is, right? Cough can be an onomatopoeia. But peace is probably not classified as one, but for me it is. When I just say the word peace, there's just something about it that's just, whew, amen? And this week, as I was just kind of contemplating and meditating and praying on this idea of peace, I thought of something that just, you know, my brain's kind of maybe a little bit quirky, but when you think of water, what else do you think about water? So if I were to say, tell me what your thought is of water, what would you say? Ooh, life. That's a good one, but that has nothing to do with where I was going. Okay. But that is a good one. That's a really good one. Well, that could be, though. Water and life? Yeah, that's true. I think water, wet. Yeah. I mean, you know, we would laugh if somebody got out of the pool and say, boy, how's the water? Well, it sure is wet. Right. Water, wet. Air, dry. For me, direct, pretty. Kind. Yeah. But one of the things that I never realized until I was thinking about it, when I think of God just as water, wet, air, dry, God, peace. Amen. I can't draw my thoughts toward God for very long without peace just beginning to invade. You know, have you ever watched sometimes on a music night, you know, on some music awards, somebody will be doing a special song and they'll have the fake fog, the dry ice stuff, and you kind of see it just stay on the ground because it's heavier and it just kind of starts to envelop the deal. You can't think about God for very long without peace just beginning to kind of roll into your heart. Amen? Have you ever experienced that before? How many of you have gotten some really bad news? A tragic accident happened or something like that. Maybe somebody died unexpectedly or whatever. And you begin to, your maybe an initial reaction was, oh, I can't believe it or whatever. But then all of a sudden, we usually say it, some, you know, there, all of a sudden just a peace came over me. And here's what usually we say next. And I just knew that everything was going to be okay. How many of you have experienced that before? Oh, I tell you what, if you haven't experienced it, I don't wish for you to have to have I don't wish for you to have something happen for you to experience it, but I'll just say this. For the Christian, should something like that happen, I can tell you this, the peace of God is available just like that. To begin to just roll into our lives and just whew. One of the things for 26 years plus, this May will be 27 years, that I've prayed when we used to be at the YFCA for 5.5 years, and you know, you had to overcome a lot because you smelt sweat. Right? I mean, the building reeked with sweat. But I prayed it there, and then when we were blessed to have this building, we built this building, I've prayed it every day and will until we go to another spot across the street or wherever. But I'm going to pray every day that when people walk through the threshold of any of these doors, any of the exterior doors, but certainly, you know, this sanctuary in and of itself, it's sheetrock and 2x6s and, you know, electrical wire and all sorts of stuff like that. And so, and none of that, you know, was blessed. But how many of you know the people of God coming to worship the Lord? This place is a holy place in here. Okay? It's just a place. It's just a space. But where two or three are gathered, how many of you know he's in the midst of us? And so because of that, it's holy. But one of the things especially that when somebody walks in the doors of these sanctuaries, I want the peace of God to just tangibly touch them. That there's this deal that says, you know what? It's going to be okay. Let's read a few scriptures. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're going to read this every Sunday leading up to Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. You know, even when I read these names, it's just like the peace of God's there. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and I like the last one, Prince of Peace. Let's say that together. Say Prince of Peace. Think about that. This child that we celebrate is the Prince of Peace. In other words, nobody else, if I were to put it in athletic terms, nobody else can carry his duffel bag. You know what I mean? I mean, he's, if I were to put it in other terms, he sits on a shelf all by himself. He's in another class. Amen? And the cool thing is we get to know this guy. It says, look at this in verse 7. Of the increase of his government, and it's interesting, it mentions specifically, of the increase of his government and peace. You know, typically in political type things, it would maybe read, and of the increase of his government and authority. Or of the increase of his government and his power. But I love this. Of the increase of his government and peace, look at this. There will be no end. Let me ask this. Will no end outlast your life? It'll outlast your life, my life, all of us together. So of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. That's a promise. That's a promise that you can take to the spiritual bank that says this. You know, between now, I'm 54, and I don't know when I'm going to die, or I don't know when the Lord may come back again. Ultimately, it really doesn't matter. Amen? But here's what I do know as a promise, that between now and the time I exit, there's nothing that can happen that will cause God to be empty-pocketed and go, just, I have no more left. So that means no matter what catastrophe, no matter what happens that just takes me by surprise, no matter how, I can know this, that the peace of God, that as Paul says, that passes understanding. I like those things about God, don't you? Stuff that pass understanding. What do you mean by that? There's a lot of things that happen in life that I can't explain. How about you? There's things that happen, it's like, where did that come from? Things that you think you're prepared for, but then all of a sudden you realize you're not. And how many of you know life has a way of presenting things that just catch you by surprise? But listen, here's a wonderful thing. God's never caught by surprise. He's never caught empty-handed. Nothing will happen in your life or my life that'll ever knock him off the throne. He'll never turn to Jesus on his right hand and go, we forgot that. Right? Nothing. How cool is that? So what does that do for us on a daily basis? For me, on a daily basis, that just says this. You know what? I can relax and do life. Doesn't mean that, you know, we can still have goals and all of that sort of stuff. All that's good. But big picture, I can settle in for the long haul and have an incredible journey in God, knowing no matter what happens, his peace is there to calm the storm. Jerry played that wonderful jazz piece of What Child Is This? And who did you have do that chalk? Phenomenal. Look, scripture is there's a dynamic of peace that I want to just kind of point out. And it's this. When Jesus was talking in John chapter 14. John 14, 15, and 16 are wonderful portions. If you're a baby believer in Christ, I encourage you, go to John 14, 15, and 16. Just get it on the inside of you. It's all in red letters, which means Jesus spoke. Okay? It's great stuff. Here's what I love. Peace I leave with you. Okay, that's cool. Peace I leave with you. You kind of get the idea that here's this box of something, or here's this repository of something that's available. Peace I leave with you. But then I like what it says. It says my peace. Everybody say my peace. So we're not talking about anybody else's or any other kind of peace. In this room, there's several different personalities. How many type A's are out there? Some of you raised your hand real sheepishly. Some of you, your mate picked your hand up and went, okay. All the way to, you know, to use maybe there's lions out here. How many of you are lions? Have you heard that before, Gary Smalley's and John Trent's deal? Lions, beavers. How many of you beavers out there? You just love to work. You're just willing to work, okay? Golden retrievers. How many of you golden retrievers out there? You're just loyal. You just love your owner. You just love them. And then the otters. We have an otter in our household. What do otters do? Life is nothing but a big party. It's just a big party. I mean, they roll on their back and eat fish and look at you. And it's just like, where are we going next? It's like, we got this thing called responsibility. Oh, yeah, what's that? Right? Sorry. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now, I like that. I like that. It's kind of like that song that's an old song, the joy of the Lord. You know what the key word in that whole phrase is? Of. It's not just joy, it's of the Lord. I mean, you know, he doesn't have a bad day. You'll never run out of joy because he doesn't. Peace, my peace. Do you think there's ever a day that Jesus just has a bad day and just says, I can't handle it anymore. I just need a break. No. Jesus is always, always, always. We go to him and, Lord, life's, the wheels of my life have just fallen apart. I don't know how to, you know, we're just going to. And you know what he's always going to do? The psalmist said, I will go to the Lord and he will speak. And he will speak peace. Oh, don't you love that in a mom and dad or a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa? Something happens to a little kid and their world is just blown apart. Life's over. It's done. My bicycle just got broke. I don't know how it's ever going to be fixed. Right? Little grandchild comes or child comes to mom or dad. And what do they love to hear? It's going to be okay. Jesus said, this is what I want to point out. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Did you know there's one thing that if you just stop to consider it, one thing that peace does is it removes the effects of fear. Why? I was thinking about this, watching that chalk drawing up there. The deal was filled with a group of characters, and then as things went on, what happened? It would kind of just fade away into another scene. Right? So one could ask, did it really go away? Well, no, it was the same chalk, just configured differently. You know, life has a way, especially fear. Fear is faith, the same dynamics that are associated with faith. What is faith? Faith is a belief about something that hasn't happened yet. Correct? You don't need to stand in faith for something you already have. Okay? So, you know, and then it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, hope is what creates the picture. So that's what you see. So then our faith begins to pull into being, if I could say it that way, what we've seen with the eye of hope. Fear does the same thing, doesn't it? Right? What do you mean? You go to the doctor. There's something that you have that doesn't seem right. You go to the doctor. What does fear do? It begins to paint the picture that you have an incurable disease and you're going to die probably in just a few months. Are you with me? A version of that. Or something is coming before you and you just know that when you go to take that test, you're going to fail it because your mind's just going to go blink. It always does every time I do this. My mind just goes blinks and there we go. I'm going to flunk and then I'm going to flunk. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my job. If I lose my job, then I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose. You know, are you with me? Any of your brains ever do stuff like that? Mine doesn't. It could, but peace, peace. When we go to the repository of peace, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you my peace. So I can go to that repository and I can get his peace. And as I begin to just put myself, if I could say it this way, put myself in him, hide myself in the cleft of the rock, run to the rock, okay? Whatever metaphor works for you. When I do that, the peace of God just begins to fill my life. It just begins to start rolling like that dry eye, and it just begins to fully come inside to where all of a sudden, here's the cool deal. The power that fear has, and fear has power. It really does. But peace, the peace of God will neutralize that power. To where, here's what peace doesn't do. Peace doesn't necessarily fix the problem that's right in front of you, right? That person that died that you didn't expect to die, rarely. We heard a great story this morning between services. I talked about Lazarus. When Jesus got the news about Lazarus, close friend, that Lazarus was dead. Any of you ever got news about somebody that died that you didn't expect to die? It's everything in your head, you just can't believe it, right? When Jesus got that news about Lazarus, his peace, right? Kept his mind in the right spot. Are you with me? So that power that fear can bring, it can get you going in the wrong direction. The peace of God doesn't usually come in and fix it. Are you with me? Doesn't raise that person from the dead instantly. Oh, okay. Oh, that caused you a little bit of consternation. Cool. We'll just raise him from the dead. No, we still probably have a funeral to plan. We still probably have things that we got to take care of. Whatever. But you know what peace does? Peace neutralizes the power of it, begins to erase that image, and all the same elements are there. You still have the same life. God just begins to arrange the elements in a different way to create a different picture, and that at the end of the day, that picture will say, but it's gonna be okay. Oh, I thank God for the peace of the Lord. I don't know how many times as a pastor I've gotten the phone calls that what people don't know on the other end that told me, they don't know that my jaw is dropped and hit the floor and bounced off the ground 5 or 6 times. And I want to scream when the phone call is over and say, no, no, no. I don't want to go bury that 3-month-old child. You know what I mean? I don't want to go visit that husband or that wife that just lost a loved one. But the thing I call out for every time, God, I need you. And in getting him, it's just like you get wet when you get around water. Amen? You just get around God and just allow yourself to begin to have his peace just flood over you. Okay, you still got stuff that you got to do. You still got some of the stuff in front of you. But what is just incredible is to just know. And not know as in really, but to know as in, oh, it really is going to be okay. Thank God for that. This little baby that we celebrate coming into the world is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, let's get ready to celebrate communion this morning. While Jerry is coming to the piano, I just want to sing an old chorus that I never thought about it for years until this morning. So go ahead and begin to make your way and get your stuff. Let's sing. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Let's sing it again. Singing peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Fathomless billows of love.